All right. Happy Monday on the Monday Morning Joe podcast here at JoeBucksFan.com or wherever you're listening, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, wherever. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, and the podcast is presented, as always, by Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors. Discount Garage Doors, use your 10% off Joe Bucks Fan code at dgdoors.com. Give them a call, 1-866-420-DOOR. This is a great local company serving 18 counties across Florida, across the Tampa Bay area. Same day free service call. That's an amazing, amazing opportunity. Same day free service call, or even if it's the next day, free service call, they'll come to you. They will check out your garage door situation. They'll give you a free analysis and estimate. They'll give you the real deal. And no pressure. If you don't want to use them, they walk away. You can match their offer against anybody else. They sell new doors. It's a great service. It's the fairest way to go. Discount Garage Doors. Most companies charge for that kind of service to come out and really inspect and give you a diagnosis. They don't. 1-866-420-DOOR, dgdoors.com. You will not be disappointed. And this is the end of the year, guys. 3 games left in the Buccaneers season. That's why you need to go to LakelandFord.com or LakelandAutomall.com. Most dealers simply must eliminate as much inventory as they can before the end of the year. So dealer discounts are at an all-time high. So are factory rebates. You can actually save up to $12,000 off your new vehicle at Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Interest rates are at an all-time low. Most vehicles are come with 0% financing for 6 years. Add it all up. It's an incredible place to go. Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. And if you let them know at Lakeland Ford that you're a Buccaneers fan, that you listen to this podcast, you can get your lowest internet price at LakelandFord.com and still get an extra $500 Amazon gift card with your new vehicle purchase. That simple. No gimmicks, no baloney. Feel free to ask for my friend Sean Sullivan at Lakeland Ford. Check them out, LakelandAutomall.com, LakelandFord.com, whatever. All right. Man, the Bucs, 4-9. Those are your Buccaneers, 4-9. And it's a crisis, messy situation right now, and there's a lot to talk about, as everybody knows. Well, first, let me thank everybody for tuning in. Numbers continue to grow. JoeBucksFan.com continues to grow. Anybody who likes to maybe wants to get a hint of how popular JoeBucksFan.com is, go to SimilarWeb.com, which is one of the more reliable analysis of web traffic out there without actually having the data that we have on our own servers. Compare SimilarWeb.com to Buccaneers.com, which has a massive boost from its multi-million social media following. That's the official site, or Pewter Report, or any of the other sites out there. We're killing them. And we consistently lead over at Alexa.com as well, which is a little different, a little less reliable, but still a good idea for trends. Thank you to all of you, and thanks to everybody who keeps making this podcast grow. Probably in the off season, we're going to switch to 2 days a week. It's going to be a little bit easier for me to not do this on a Monday morning because, man, Sunday's busy at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters Sunday night, and we do a lot of work, as our loyal and faithful folks know. Monday morning is not the best day for me to crank out the podcast that I would like to crank out. But still, I'm here, and let's get at this. As you saw the headline, most likely saw the headline on this podcast, 5 reasons to fire Dirk Koetter, 5 reasons to keep Dirk Koetter as of December 11th, 2017. Look, that's the number one question I get. The head coach, the head coach, the head coach. Then everybody wants to know about Jason Light. He doesn't have a contract, and obviously he's had some massive swings and misses, as well as some very strong connections. He's a polarizing figure, but everybody wants to know about the head coach. And now that we have this new situation where allegedly, don't believe everything you hear, allegedly Jameis Winston and Dirk Koetter have some friction and tension over their relationship, and maybe Koetter didn't say the right things when Jameis was hurt, and maybe Jameis allegedly thinks the offense is too predictable and there's friction with Koetter. Let me say this. If this is true, and I don't believe it, but if it is true, who cares? Jameis, grow up. Fans, grow up. Anybody connected to this, grow up. The head coach, the play caller, and the quarterback, especially a quarterback with a high football IQ and who's a very passionate guy, they're not going to agree all the time. There is going to be friction. That's life working with people. That's football. That doesn't mean you start losing or you start pouting or you start complaining through third parties. Now, I don't believe that's the case, but if it is the case, who gives a crap? Does anybody really think that John Gruden and Jameis Winston are going to have a shiny, rosy relationship if Gruden was the head coach? Come on now. You're all smarter than that. All of you. So who cares? Who cares? And we heard yesterday, Jameis, with his passionate defense of his relationship with Cutter, Cutter in his style, which isn't necessarily the best for media looking for an emotional response. But Cutter's like, come on, we have a good relationship. It's been consistent. I know the truth, and that's that. So there are several reasons why I don't believe it. I put on Twitter yesterday, this is reeks of either Jameis's agent or John Gruden himself putting out some fuel to the media, to Ian Rappaport on a Sunday morning, nice and calculated. So it's out there, probably reached him yesterday. I mean, it's, you know, somebody's trying to torpedo Cutter. Maybe it's people close to Jameis misinterpreting. Maybe it's Jameis's agent who wants a coaching change and thinks it looms better for his client. I don't know, but I'm going to leave it at that. But my point is that if there is some sort of riff, who cares? Jameis probably has to deal with that for a while. Not every coach quarterback relationship is sunshine and daisies all the time. I mean, look at Blake Bortles over in Jacksonville. I mean, they were debating this offseason whether to start his backup. That was the preseason chatter there. Name escapes me. Doesn't really matter. Chad Henne? Yeah, Chad Henne. So, I mean, come on. This happens all the time, and it shouldn't be a big deal. All right. Five reasons to fire Dirk Cutter. Look at you. You're all salivating out there. You're all drooling. You can't wait to hear what I'm going to say. You got the meat hooks out for Dirk Cutter. And I understand it. I understand it. Look, they're 4-9, and things feel out of control. Things look helpless, even though the team is playing tight games. They're battling to the end, and it's not like they're getting blown out and are non-competitive. But it feels terrible. No question. I'm a fan. I'm a fan first. You know, fan first before Joe Bucks fan. Look, if I win the lottery ticket, no, I won't be here at Joe Bucks fan anymore, but you know what? I'll still be a Bucks fan. And, you know, that's who I am, and that's that. So I get it. I get the angst and the outrage, and it's all legitimate. Every piece of it. Most of it, anyway. Number one reason to fire Dirk Cutter on December 11th, his complete disconnection from the defense. Cutter himself will tell you that he puts all the faith in the world in Mike Smith, and he humbly says, I've heard him say it multiple times, oh, I don't get mixed up in the defense, that in the meeting rooms there, I'm not speaking up, I probably mess things up, and you don't want me touching the defense, and Mike Smith, man, he's the guy. Well, when you have a coach who admittedly and earnestly says, I'm disconnected from the defense, it's not me. I'm not going to go in there and mess it up and start saying, hey, look, we're not doing this and let's find some answers and whatever. If Cutter is that disconnected from the defense, and the defense is that bad, and it's bad, it is really bad, well, what are the odds he's going to fix it? Is he really going to fire one of his best friends in the world, Mike Smith? And if he gets a new defensive coordinator, it's dicey. His disconnection from that mess doesn't give you a lot of faith that he's going to be able to fix it. So that's one reason right there. And yeah, you need a good defense to win in the NFL. Number two, the Doug Martin fiasco. Those who read joesbucksfan.com and listen to this podcast know that myself has probably been the loudest voice hammering Doug Martin since last year and all offseason that he didn't belong on the team. He did not belong on the team. The film showed that. The reality showed that. The data on older running backs showed that. And Martin's inconsistency showed that. But yet, the regime brought him back. Okay, well, just because he's back here didn't mean that Dirk Cutter had to stick with the guy. The whole thing has turned into a fiasco, capped off by yesterday's game where Doug Martin did not deserve to start. But he started anyway because Cutter had this misguided notion of you don't lose your job because of injury. Martin played yesterday, and one could say that, you know what, that dumb decision might have cost the Bucs the game in a tight game. He fumbled. He was ineffective. He shouldn't have been out there. And that's on Dirk Cutter. That's on Dirk Cutter. And yeah, it's an important position. Give the guy the rock 10 times yesterday. It's a mess. And it shouldn't have happened. And I think that's one reason to question his judgment as a head coach. So there's number two. Number three, third reason to fire Dirk Cutter on December 11th. It's always a fluid situation here, but on December 11th, Jameis Winston's lack of progression. The guy has not made strides this year. Sure, he's nuanced strides he's probably made in certain areas. He had to get off to a good start. But the big picture, the keys, the decision-making, the ball security, the victories, they haven't come. And you know what? Yeah, quarterbacks get too much of the blame when things go wrong, but that's the position. Jameis is 17-25. He continues to make the same mistakes. And that's a reason to get rid of Dirk Cutter. If you think Jameis has maybe ceilinged out under Cutter, that would be legitimate by Team Glazer. So that's number three. Now, I'm not saying these are my reasons to fire him right now, but these are reasons that I would put on my top five list if I was going to fire Dirk Cutter. The losing streaks. Look, five-game losing streak. Now we're at three games. If this thing closes with a six-game losing streak, you have to get rid of Dirk Cutter. I'm sorry, Dirk. You got to go. Six in a row to close the season. It just shouldn't happen. Really shouldn't happen to a good football coach who has talent. And that leads me to the weapons. The weapons are healthy, but they're not gelling. Look at these weapons. Imagine if Josh Freeman had these weapons. Look at what Josh Freeman was able to accomplish in 2010, throwing the ball to Mo Stovall, Mike Williams, and Aurelius Ben. Are you kidding? Kellen Winslow, a tight end, caught a lot of balls and was a good receiver. Was a reliable target. But man, Jameis has plenty of weapons here. And I think the running game could be better and should have been better this season if they didn't have Martin back there. And that's on Cutter. It ties together. The reality is they're not scoring enough points. Not scoring enough points with all these weapons. That's on the play caller. If it doesn't get better, if they don't have some miraculous turnaround here, you could make the case, hey, that's a reason to fire Dirk. He's got a ton of weapons. Why will he do better next year? If you can't answer that question with certainty, there you go. And before I hit the five reasons to keep Dirk Cutter, let me say this. Team Glazer, I firmly believe this. If you're an organization, if you're an ownership group, you have to sit around and ask yourself, do we believe this guy can lead us to the Super Bowl? Is this a guy we can envision leading us to the Super Bowl? That's the ultimate goal. And if that answer is no, then you got to part ways. It doesn't matter how often you've done it. You have to be able to be honest with yourself and believe in the guy that you have. And that belief in Dirk Cutter manifests itself in several ways, right? If you believe in a guy, then it's very hard to go to a guy you believe in and say, well, you know what, Mr. Guy, I believe in, get rid of play calling. You have to fire your defensive coordinator, even if you want to keep him. And we want a seasoned ex-pro quarterbacks coach for Jameis. It's hard to say you believe in a guy and then make a lot of demands. It's happened before in the NFL. I know Lee DeCamper, a Joe Bucks fan, has made the point that it's happened with Dick Vermeil when he had a couple of bad years when he went back to the Rams. And the Rams told him, hey, you got to make these changes or it's not going to work. I get that, but Dick Vermeil's coaching resume was a little different than Dirk Cutter's, and it's a different era. So the Glazers have to be able to answer that question. I think it was an easy answer with Greg Schiano. I also think it was a pretty easy answer with Lovie Smith. Keep in mind, the Bucks hired Lovie to win quickly. That was the idea, was win quickly, duplicate what Andy Reid did in Kansas City. Lovie had the experience. He had the Super Bowl trip. He was supposed to be a guy who could make a fast impact. And Lovie made a lot of fast mistakes. Plus, he was running the Buccaneers defense, which was brutal. The Buccaneers offense is not brutal. Lovie's defense, which he took over, which he pulled in the reins 100% on, was brutal. And of course, Raheem Morris was an easy decision after a 10-game losing streak. So I think the decision this time, when they do ask themselves, hey, can we win with this guy? It might be more difficult. But again, if Cutter loses six in a row, see you later. Okay, five reasons to keep Dirk Cutter. And I see all those shaking heads out there. I see them. You know, I read the Dirk Cutter confidence poll on JoeBucksFan.com. 70%+ of you, 2 weeks in a row, have had little to no confidence in Dirk Cutter. I get it. That's what happens with losing, and there's a reason that he's lost a lot of trust. However, five reasons to keep him. One, this team has a crisis on the defensive line. It is an absolute talent crisis on the D-line. There is no in-between. The players on the Bucs are not just below-average defensive linemen. They have a lot of bad NFL defensive linemen playing on this team right now. It's just bad. And that's not his fault. That is not Dirk Koetter's fault. And how many wins would you really expect with a D-line like this? How many? Put an answer to that. So that is a consideration, and that might be a reason to keep Dirk Koetter. The guy literally is playing in a season here with no D-line. None. Dirk Cutter's not involved with picking defensive linemen, folks. That's on the general manager. The kicking mess, number two, the kicking mess that cost us a game early this season, possibly two games, at least one, and an important one for momentum and for beating the New England Patriots at home. That's the kind of win that can change your franchise. Most good franchises, when they make that shift, they get turning point wins. Kind of like the Bucs against the Niners 20 years ago. And what I suspect is the Jaguars beating the Seahawks yesterday, for a current example. But anyway, that kicking mess that we experienced earlier this season, that was not Dirk Koetter's fault. That's on the GM. That cost us a game, and that messed up a lot. Not his fault. Number three, third reason to keep Dirk Koetter, it would be good for Jameis to keep the same coordinator, to let him blossom in a year four where he's going to should have maximum knowledge within the system and the stability with the weapons to thrive. And, you know, it really is not unreasonable, as annoying as it is and as much as it makes you want to bang your head against the wall, for it to take Jameis a year or half a season or really a full season to really find and get in sync with DeSean Jackson after what he's had before, it's not unreasonable for everyone to need a little more time to get in sync. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not hugging everybody for it. But you know what? It might be good for Jameis, and usually it is. We know from NFL history, good for Jameis to keep the same play caller one more year. Let him go one more year in this offense and let him play confidently and maturely next season and see what he can do with all the weapons. And with, you might see the best of Jameis in some ways next year if you keep Dirk Koetter. And that's just a reality that Team Glazer might want to consider as they look at, is this a guy we're going to make our franchise quarterback as far as the contract that we throw out to him? Something to think about. That could be a reason to keep Dirk Koetter, especially if the offense finds a way to thrive. In these last few games, it's been clicking a little bit better, for sure, as far as moving the ball, putting some points up. Cutter's been a little bit more creative. Jameis obviously should be more comfortable in the offense. I'm just saying it might be good for Jameis to let this go one more year with his play caller. Number four reason to keep Dirk Koetter. You actually believe that Koetter, as a seasoned play caller, as a guy who's led three different franchises to a top 10 offense in the NFL, as a guy who's called plays in the playoffs, as a guy who's done it with different quarterbacks, if you actually believe that he will fix the offense, that you basically say to yourself, hey, look, Dirk Koetter, he knows what he's doing. He's going to fix this offense. He's going to understand and bust his ass all offseason to figure out the highs and lows and the pitfalls and the screw-ups, and he'll be able to get this thing right. If you believe that, if you don't believe that Dirk Koetter is a washed-up coordinator, well, maybe that's a reason to keep Dirk Koetter, and that ties to the previous thing with Jameis not changing coordinators. And number five, reason to keep Dirk Koetter right now, today on December 11th, is the team is still competing, and it's his first bad year. I mean, one bad year. It's hard to fire a coach after just one bad year. Doesn't happen a lot in the NFL. It really doesn't. It's not uncommon. It's not a rare dinosaur or something, but the team is competing. It's one bad year. He's going out there playing defense with no defensive line whatsoever. And now we have Gerald McCoy hurt. And let's see what the final record is. Let's see what this looks like. I still say again, 6 in a row losing. I don't know if you can tolerate that. I don't think you can. I don't think you can sell that to anybody. And that's a problem. That's a institutional problem. You drop six in a row with a bunch of talent. But let's see what the final record is. The team is competing. It's just one bad year. That might be a reason to keep Dirk Cutter. So a fast summary. The five general reasons I had to fire him: disconnection from the defense, Doug Martin fiasco, the Jameis lack of progression. He might have ceilinged out under Dirk. Losing streaks. We had a five-game streak. We're now at three games. If we close with six, which it looks like, that's unacceptable whatsoever. The weapons are healthy, but they're not gelling. Five reasons to keep them. The talent crisis on the D-line isn't his fault. The kicking debacle was not his fault, and that cost us a game and probably some serious momentum. Also, it would be good for Jameis to have some continuity with his coordinator. Maybe we get the most out of him in year four. And another would be, you believe in Dirk? That he'll fix this thing because he's a seasoned guy, and the team's competing. They're still playing hard. They're still getting after it. They're still playing to the final whistle. This isn't Raheem Morris 2011. So there you go. I wanted to at least throw it out there from what I thought. Love to hear from you in our comments section. I know everybody's getting ready to ditch Dirk, a lot of people. I'm not sure it's the best thing yet, but I've told you before that I'm not a guy who likes to evaluate until the whole season's over. Because it is a full season, right? We don't say the Bucs were 8-7 last year plus one meaningless game and victory against Carolina. No, we say they were 9-7. So let's see what the rest of this season brings. I think it'll tell us a lot about the football team, a lot about the head coach, and we'll see. Next Monday, of course, is John Gruden night. And, yeah, I was very harsh. For those wondering, yeah, that's me on JoeBucksFan.com. I was harsh last week writing on Friday when Gruden was at MacDill Air Force Base, that it was bad form, classless form by the head coach to schedule a photo op on MacDill Air Force Base when, and a press conference, when he's linked to jobs, linked to the Buccaneers job right in his backyard with Dirk Cutter. I don't think that was cool, and I'll tell you why. I'm all for John Gruden volunteering at MacDill. It was set up in advance. He was there's a MacDill football team. I guess they play other bases and things, whatever. Probably some Coast Guard teams, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. He was out there coaching those guys in a little practice session. Fantastic. Awesome stuff. But my problem is why schedule the media to come out there? Why is Ira Kaufman getting an invitation 5 days in advance? Hey, come on out. Other media TV, why the photo op end of this for Gruden to fuel the rumors? I just don't think it's cool. You know, Gruden's a guy who claims he respects the profession of coaching. He respects his coaching fraternity. Look, he knows the rumors are out there from Dirk Cutter, and he's fueling them. When you call the media out there, you're fueling them. Gruden didn't need the media out there. It would have been fine for him to just be there with his ESPN video crew and let them show that on Monday Night Football or in a ESPN pregame show. What did he need all the local media out there? This wasn't for charity. This wasn't any reason for Gruden to promoting anything other than himself. I mean, there was no charity hook. There was no donate here. There was no nothing. So to me, it just wasn't cool. And you may think that's petty. You may think that's stupid. You may think it's Dirk Cutter's fault that he stinks as a coach and don't hold it against John Gruden for just living his life. I get all that, but it doesn't make it cool. It does not make it cool to be right down the street from the guy whose job you are rumored to be taking. And Gruden had the nerve to say that he can't control the rumors about him and the Bucs. Are we that stupid? Are we that dumb to believe John Gruden can't control the rumors? Come on now. He can not only control them, he can ramp them up, he can slow them down. He's got the joystick on those rumors. He can do whatever he wants, and I just didn't like it. So I get that it may not have been the most popular thing. I know Gruden's camp wasn't too happy with it, but not here to please the non-head coach or the head coach. So let me throw that out there right away. One quick note. NFL Photo Store, the legitimate, honest, real deal NFL Photo Store at NFL.com. You can use your Joe Bucks Fan code there for 25% off. Go to joebucksfan.com. You'll see a big ad for that there. You can click on it and get through. And basically, you shop for real game photos from the NFL, the highest caliber photos, game action. You can get them framed, send them to somebody. If you have your Uncle Pete is a Bears fan, you can go get him a picture of Mike Glennon right there that'll deliver it UPS. And it's actually very reasonably priced. And you have the 25% off. So definitely check that out. Thanks to Abe's Place yesterday, hosted me, full house there, watching football, watching the Bucks on the audio, on the big screens. Appreciate that. It's always a great time at Abe's Place, and you can get all the NFL games there. We love Abe's, supporting Joe Bucks Fan, and fantastic. All right, as far as yesterday's game, it's just brutal, and I wrote about this, it is brutal that the Bucks blitzers don't get home. Forget about the horrible defensive line, okay. But the blitzers don't get through. Nothing. They can't find a way to get these guys home. And we have some people you would think would be decent blitzers. We have some speed if we want to run corner blitzes, which we don't really do. We have Quan Alexander and Lavonne David and a spry rookie in Kendall Beckwith. These guys don't get home. Safety blitz on the Bucks. Have you seen a good safety blitz from the Bucks in a while? Lavonne David and Quan Alexander, zero sacks this year combined. The linebackers have two sacks, Glanton and Beckwith, and there's nothing, no sacks from the defensive backs. It's two sacks, and the Bucks blitz 30% of passing downs. Think about that. It's like we set, it's like a comedy show. We send the guys, and they don't get through. We have advantages and numbers. They don't get through. Either these guys are horribly timing the blitzes, they're not disguising the blitzes well, or they're just not good at blitzing, or the D linemen are so inept that they can't even rush their lanes properly to open up these gaps. But when's the last time you saw a Buccaneers blitzer with his hair on fire coming up the A gap and smacking a quarterback or getting right in his face? Just doesn't happen enough. And it's really not on the D line. It's just such an indictment of this defense. And we seem to have blitzing talent. Bad, bad, bad. Kudos to Peyton Barber for continuing to show that he is more talented than Doug Martin and just a talented running back in the NFL. It's just great when these guys get their shot and he can run left, he can run up the gut, he can fight, he can measure his blocks. Even if you're at the game, go back and listen to Rondé Barber. Barber seems to love the guy. Dave Moore on the radio, man, these jump cuts and firing off the jump cuts. When's the last time we saw that kind of stuff? It's been a long time and very happy for the kid. Dirk Koetter continues to not be able to sort of blend these weapons. It's just sickening, really. Are we ever going to get a big game from both tight ends? I don't know if we're going to see that. Mike Evans, again, two catches, second week in a row, two catches. There's only one football, but he's got to find a way to figure this stuff out. It's just not acceptable. Just not acceptable. And, you know, the team, there they go. They just can't find a way to win. And that's what good teams do. That's what I told you weeks ago. Good teams in any sport, they know how to close the game out. Bucks can't do it. And again, if they can't do it the rest of the season, it's not going to lead me to believe that they've really can do it next year. So to me, that means the coaching change has to happen. Lots to look for this week on the soap opera front. Lots to look for with this team next Monday night. I think they'll show up very strong, mostly because it's Monday night football and teams don't really roll over on Monday night football. There'll be a lot of energy in the building from Gruden. I'll have a podcast before that, so we'll get into that. But I don't see great things from the Bucks, but I think they're going to keep fighting going forward. And I know a lot of people expect Team Glazer to do something, maybe, you know, fire Mike Smith or make a move here or whatever. I don't expect anything like that whatsoever. Just keep reading us at joebucksfan.com. Keep supporting us. Should be a wild Ira Kaufman podcast this week, a couple of those. Thanks to Discount Garage Doors and Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Don't forget your tremendous offers there, dgdoors.com, and get that extra $500 Amazon gift card at Lakeland Ford. Just ask Sean Sullivan. That's available on any new vehicle. Just get your lowest price, no gimmick. Then you get an extra $500 off. So it's a tremendous opportunity through the end of the year. All right, Bucks fans, hang in there. try to stay with the team. It is tough. It is brutal. But this is what we do, right? Hard times. Hard times. Hang in there. We love you. Thanks for coming to the podcast, and we'll see you next time.